This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Dom time. Coming to your calls. Dom's Money Melody will be at 2:30 today. We're going to talk with the Attorney General in Pennsylvania, Dave Sunday, rising star, leading the nation at these investigations and convictions, according to the information we have, around Medicaid fraud. Think about that on the national level. But I just saw this, and this is from a left-wing group. The left-wing group is Vox. And the guy who is the, Scott Presler, or something like that, on the Democrat side, says the reality, listen to this now, in the 2024 election, the reality is if all registered voters had turned out, President Trump would have won the popular vote, he says, Democrat, by 5 points instead of 1.7 points. So, direct quote, I think that we need to turn up the temperature and mobilize everyone's strategy would have made things worse. That's David Shore arrived Levitz arrived at that after interviewing David Shore, who Levitz hails as the most influential data scientist in the Democratic Party. So let me break that down. He's saying that if all this mobilization, remember they blame Bob Brady here, you know, rather than Kamala Harris. If the vote had been so energized and turned out, it would have been a lot worse for Democrats. Now, let me tell you how that cuts in my mind. And I'm going to be honest about this. It is amazing what Trump has broken through. Can Republicans, though, build on that post-Trump? Is it Trump? Is it the policies? Is it whatever? You know, J.D. Vance, I'm reading this morning, is being seen as the inevitable 2028 nominee. I don't know about that. And I don't think he's Trump. Nobody is. But imagine, this is the top, according to them, Democrat data analysis. If they had energized, if they had turned out more people across America, what would have happened is Trump would have won the popular vote by more than he did, a lot more. So then what's your strategy? You got to think. Well, a couple of things come to my mind. One, Trump is a phenomena that maybe you won't have to face all the time. Two, you can't have a rotten candidate like Kamala Harris. And three, there are these 80-20 issues that Trump particularly plays so well that are devastating. They knock out everything else. People don't want to hear it if you are going around saying, we want men and women's sports. We're going to support that. We're going to support the guy at Columbia who, is a Hamas supporter, organizer. They're not going to be with you. These other things will not cut through. They just won't work. Do you have that Psaki one yet? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here's Jen Psaki, though. She doesn't see it that way. She didn't get this memo. Psaki saying that this is the next line of attack. Trump is not owning the libs, meaning beating back the Democrat Party. He's owning you if you support Trump. In other words, he's a con man and you're falling for it.
And she starts, Dom, just to set some context,
yes,
preaching a new narrative that's come out of the left. And it's fascinating,
yes,
to me that there's been blame. Dana bashed it on,
right,
CNN this morning, and now she's doing it, trying to tie Trump's cuts through Doge to the NOAA, NOAA, and the Weather,
right,
Service,
yes,
placing blame on Trump for the wreckage of the storms we just saw down south.
Over the past few weeks, the Trump administration has slashed hundreds of NOAA staff, including people responsible for producing critical weather forecasts and maintaining radar systems, and they're not done. The agency is tasked with cutting an additional 1,000 jobs, which means 10% of its workforce. See, to Donald Trump and his buddy Elon Musk, NOAA is just another woke agency that stirs up climate hysteria. And so it's one of the agencies that has found itself in their crosshairs. But here's the thing. When devastating tornadoes swept across the country this week, it actually wasn't coastal Democrats in their path at all. It was states like Mississippi and Arkansas Alabama and Missouri.
There we go.
States that would definitely not self-identify as woke in any way. And states that would definitely benefit from a fully operational and fully staffed and fully funded NOAA. What about FEMA, which provides essential tools for cleaning up and rebuilding after devastating,
right,
storms, like the ones we also saw last week and this week? Trump and Elon Musk claim the agency is a political tool wielded by Democrats during disasters. I don't even know what they mean by that exactly.
All right, well, let's stop here, lady, and tell you what it means. We saw what happened to these people in Carolina, and Trump and others stepped in on this. And under Duffy particularly, and people like that, the Secretary of Transportation, they're getting action on tragedies like what happened here in Philadelphia. Dan's right. What they're trying to do is to say that these people died in Mississippi. It was worse because of NOAA. A, people are not buying that. But they're also not going to be told that Trump is that. We hear this all the time at these town halls. There are people that have been damaged by what Trump did with veterans and all this. And these are the people speaking up. They're not. They're fraudulent. Here's just one thing DJ just sent me that's an example of where the left is. This is in Jersey. Channel 6, I'm not going to play. Channel 6 put a whole package together on this. They say, Vineland, New Jersey, a controversial questionnaire has parents in New Jersey talking. It asks new parents about their baby's sexual orientation and gender identity. The forum has now gotten the attention of the New Jersey state lawmaker who has proposed legislation to change it. It comes after she saw the social media post of one mom-to-be who received the questionnaire from a local hospital asking questions she didn't expect.
Is your baby straight, gay, bisexual, genderqueer?
New Jersey State Senator Holly Chapese found out about it when the mom posted this picture on social media.
And it's so absurd and so ridiculous.
Well, the mom received the questionnaire from Vineland Hospital and the Inspira Health Network. But hospitals across the state of New Jersey have sent out the same form asking about the gender identity and sexual orientation of babies.
Yeah, even Channel 6. Thank you, Dan. That's beautifully cut there. The commentator, the reporter, babies at the end. They're going to keep on doing this, and they keep on saying that Trump is owning people. It's better to look at what he's taken away from. He's a populist, more than just a conservative. What he's taken away from Democrats, reaching people, call it working class, call it across the board. But this report from Vox, which is very, very left, is at least they're trying, these guys, not Jen Psaki, figure out what happened here. And look, I don't know about you. I asked Dan and Henry. Dan, you were here on election night. I thought Trump, I've said this many times, I thought going into that night, Trump was going to win. Did I think he was going to win all the swing states? No, I didn't think that at all. Now you can say, well, you should have, because that's what happened. Did I think he would win the popular vote? For a Republican to win the popular vote, to me, in the atmosphere we're in the last 30 years, it's next to impossible that that would have been on my radar screen. But what was happening are some of the issues that we've talked about. She was such a bad candidate that it caught up with him. Dan, did you think he was going to win in the manner that he did?
No.
Yeah. Henry, were you following that closely? What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be that.
You think it was going to blow out?
Totally.
What was the tell for you?
Just, I don't know, a vibe, a hunch,
Okay. You
could say. I just felt like Kamala didn't have the steam or the energy behind her that Trump did.
True.
But I agree with that. There was definitely that vibe. I the entire time I was fearful that there was going to be some kind of last second move by the Democrats.
And I'm very anti polls and all those numbers. And I just think it's all garbage. So just going off of vibes.
What you have to overcome: the vote in California.
Sure.
I'm talking popular vote. New York, Illinois, Jersey. I mean, it is overwhelming to overcome the popular vote. And this guy's saying it would have been worse. So, and the odds, I don't know what Vegas would say the odds are on carrying all the swing states. There were several. I was definite. I would have bet that Trump was going to carry. But all of them in there were a couple that were very, very difficult to imagine this was going to be razor thin. And one of them was Pennsylvania. I'm surprised by the margin in Pennsylvania. In the end, it was a pretty big margin. Remember, he lost 80,000 the last time with Biden, give or take, whatever the shenanigans. But it is remarkable. So Vox, this report, I'll print it out and get you more details, saying their projections by Democrats, if they had turned out more voters, energized, did all this stuff, given the playing field, they would have lost worse. Wow. Yeah, Jen Psaki did not get that. Her argument is still this argument they're trying, that maybe they're believing even. See, I'm not believing these are Trump people showing up at these Republican town halls going wild. I don't think they are. Are they all paid? Are they all actors? No. There might be some that are moderate, Democrats, whatever. I'm not believing they're turning on Trump on this. Just not seeing it. And the only flaw that I see here is the tariffs are all over the place, but the markets seem to have stabilized on it. So we'll see. All right. No Giuseppe, Dan. Things are tough in the Sicilian. We'll get him tomorrow, though. Again, this is a great trip.
Mozzarella's not firm enough yet, though.
Yeah. There's nothing like going with conservative tours. I do hope you'll consider coming with us. We've had a blast. The last trip 2 years ago was more Rome, Venice, that type. This is really unusual, though. It got our attention. Sicily. And Calabria, that's where The Godfather, I think all three films had some locales there. All right, should we do the lightning round? Wait a minute. We went over. We got Dave Sunday here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll go to Dave Sunday, Attorney General, on Talk Radio 1210.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dom, to your Dano show. The work already being done by Attorney General in Pennsylvania, newly elected Dave Sunday, is incredible. We're looking at the headlines here. Just on Medicaid fraud, the people investigated, charged, convicted, or pleading guilty is amazing. Let's go to the Attorney General. Always an honor to have him on the show. Attorney General, great work so far. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
Before we get to the big stuff here, we encourage listeners, when we have somebody who seems to be so responsive, to call our people. They apparently called my producer. Who is it they wanted to know that might be auditing in your office, nonprofits? So if they call your office, would they say just something like that, or would they ask for a particular department?
So what I would recommend is someone. So we have a nonprofit and charitable trust section okay. in the office. And so my recommendation would be that's, I mean, honestly, that's a starting point. Call in and say, I'd like to speak with the section that oversees nonprofits and charitable trusts.
Okay.
And then that's a great starting point, because a lot of times, you know, people think they know what their issue is. And then once it comes in and after it's evaluated, then it turns out it might be a completely different place they need to go. So that's a great starting point.
All right. We encourage them to do that. But congratulations. Of course, we're swerving into a national issue here with Medicaid, Medicaid fraud, et cetera. And some of the stories I've seen out, some of the commentary on this indicates your office is one of the leaders at successfully penetrating this. It seemed to me, reading some of the people that had pleaded guilty, been charged or convicted, that there is a lot of people setting up their own agency of a sort and then filing all kinds of claims, hours and hours and hours, that they couldn't possibly do because your investigators found they were allegedly tending to someone else at the same time.
Right. And I think, and thank you for bringing that up and bringing that intro, because I think that a starting point here is it's important for listeners to know, number one, that the Attorney General's office is investigating Medicaid fraud. And it's something that we have a huge Medicaid fraud section. You know, I ran on public safety, and I think that, you know, we need to adhere to the rule of law. And so for those of your listeners out there that might be engaged in Medicaid fraud, they should know that someone is aggressively looking at these cases. And if they're prosecutable, then we're going to prosecute them.
It's astounding, though, what you've been able to do during right. that period of time. Would this apply? Now, I know this is more federal, but Social Security, something like that. We hear these things coming out of Washington, and it seems hard to believe. I'm asking, is it of the same sort where nobody's investigated it before? To me, it would be obvious. Like, are people really getting checks in Social Security that are 100? Do you get tips from people, or do you look at the records and say, this doesn't seem right?
So they, I mean, like any criminal case, it comes to us through a lot of different potential paths. Oftentimes, there might be someone that is aware that this is happening, and they may tip off law enforcement. Or, you know, there might be a different case that we're working on, and during that case, it's identified that there might be other bad actors out there doing something similar. And so, you know, I want to be careful about, you know, sort of outing our methods, but I will say that that information comes to us from a lot of different places, you know, and unfortunately, I mean, these are circumstances where a lot of these individuals that are in the process that are committing Medicaid fraud, it's almost like they think that this is just like pretend money or something like that, meaning, but this is real. I mean, this is our taxpayer dollars that go to this. I mean, so when someone commits Medicaid fraud, first of all, they are stealing from the taxpayers. And then number two, on top of that, there are a lot of people out there that really need the services that Medicaid provides.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that the people that need Medicaid, that they can receive it. And so that's why this is especially egregious.
Now, the other thing, Dave McCormick, of course, is a big bill around this and coalesced. And at your level, I know Pennsylvania is a sore spot for this fentanyl. What's going on that front?
All right. So to begin with, as you know, and I know you've talked about this on your show, fentanyl is the latest. It's the latest look at what we have with regard to the opioid crisis. Fentanyl, for anyone that doesn't know, is over 100 times more powerful than the heroin from a few years ago. It's very, very deadly, and it primarily comes to the United States and in particular where we live in Pennsylvania, over the Mexican border. And so one of the main issues I ran on was, again, public safety and the fentanyl epidemic. At the same time, Senator Dave McCormick ran on protecting Pennsylvanians as well. And so to that point, a couple different things. So to start with, obviously with the work that's been done by the Trump administration on shutting down the Mexican border, that should right away impact the amount of fentanyl coming into the United States. And I just want to comment on that a second, if it's okay, because what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, when you read articles about fentanyl coming into the United States, you will see that the fentanyl primarily comes through what's called, you know, port of entry, meaning where cars are coming across.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily coming over in the middle of the desert. But what the problem is, when we had, prior to the Trump administration, when we had our border agents, you know, all over the desert finding people, and then all the work that they put into assisting them and getting them to the places where they needed to go, there was an opportunity cost because those same agents weren't at the ports of entry screening cars and doing everything they could to stop this drug from coming in. And so right off the bat, huge change will already put us in a better posture for this. Now, what Senator McCormick did was he proposed a bill along with Senator Fetterman, and that bill would create a fentanyl task force that essentially would identify ways that the federal government that they can look to find ways that they can stop fentanyl from coming in the United States. And again, I just want to say it is so dangerous. It's so deadly. I mean, when I was a kid, and I'm not going to venture to guess your age, but when I was a kid, if someone made a mistake, they might have a hangover for a day or two. In today's world, a mistake could equal death, and that's not something that we as elected officials should tolerate.
I've heard, too, and I don't think they're horror stories, cops that I really respect, that if it's around and you even touch this, come in contact with small amounts, that could be deadly. That's how powerful this is.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's not only dangerous it's not only dangerous for kids that might be using it. Right now, most of the drugs that are illicitly sold there's fentanyl laced in it. To your point, you know, our brave law enforcement officers in this country and in Pennsylvania, I mean, to our brave law enforcement officers that are out there every day trying to do everything they can to keep us safe, they inadvertently could come into contact with this. And we have seen cases where police officers have overdosed solely because they came into contact with this substance.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about Dave Sunday, the new Attorney General. Attorney General, too, I saw that you opened, and you can tell me the exact verbiage, the Sunoco investigation because of the, I'll say alleged in all this, I don't have any documents, the pollution and the Sunoco in the suburban Philadelphia that made a lot of news here.
Yeah, so because that's been commented on as an ongoing investigation.
Okay.
I don't want to go in. I would prefer to not go into any detail on that. I would just say that I'll just leave it at that for now.
Gotcha. Now, I wanted to talk too a little bit. I'm not a Johnny One Note on this, although it seems like at times, given the latest, or my understanding, Larry Krasner, again, DA in Philadelphia now,
yes,
has allegedly smeared, more than allegedly, these two prosecutors, judges involved, mm-hmm, a big fine involved. And I think you're engaged in that and calling for something around this with Krasner.
So to begin with, this would have been just a few days ago, but Judge Anne Marie Coyle in Philadelphia actually fined the Philadelphia District Attorney $120,000,
right,
and ruled that that essentially there was no what's called a good faith basis to make the allegations that he made with regard to those former law enforcement officials. And that's really important because, you know, in America, prosecutors can't just go into a courtroom and just say things that they want to say. There has to be a reason. There has to be a good faith basis. And a ruling like that from a judge is extraordinary, especially in a case like this.
Yeah, without a doubt. So what is it that you think should be done or could be done about this?
Well, you know, I have not, and just by, I haven't read the actual court transcript, but what I can say is that, you know, typically prosecutors all across Pennsylvania, to begin with, when they act without good faith, they're almost always, I mean, I can't even think of a time where this wouldn't be the case, where there wouldn't be at least some type of ethical inquiry by the Board of Professional Conduct. I mean, that's a starting point. And I can say whether you're, you know, the Philly DA or any DA or defense attorney or lawyer, you have to act in good faith, because when people don't act in good faith and there are no repercussions, then that impacts the way that people view our entire system. And when people don't trust the system, that's when bad things happen.
Parting area for you, Attorney General, immigration, illegal immigration, your office, your stance on this, how you would couch your view on what's happening with this.
Well, what I can say to begin with, I want to echo actually what I said previously about the fact that the Trump administration has really gone to great lengths to protect us with regard to shutting the border down. From the perspective of a law enforcement agency, that's something that, you know, we've been crying for a long time. You know, when you look at human trafficking, when you look at all of it, it's just unbelievably important for public safety. The second part of that, very simply, is, I mean, we're a nation of laws. We are a nation of laws. We are a state, a commonwealth of laws. And our laws are what makes us different than most, than other countries in the world. And so to that point, obviously, I mean, my position is that we follow the law and we collaborate and cooperate with other law enforcement officials, because that's what our job is. And that's what we took an oath to do. And so I'm not sure, you know, what angle, like what else you want to discuss with regard to that. But very simply, my position is we follow the law. We work with all of our law enforcement colleagues and partners to do everything we can to achieve the mission of making our community safer.
Well, I hear you, because it's good news to hear that, because many situations, you know, the attorneys general that are suing across the nation on some ground, I think, is spurious other than following the law. But go ahead, Attorney General.
No, I was just going to say very quickly that, you know, it's important that we, again, you mentioned attorneys general across the country filing lawsuits. I think it's important that we focus on our core competencies, do our job, and keep our community safe. And that's why I ran for attorney general. That's my focus, and that's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. Please keep us in the loop. Impressive start to this across the board. And any issue that you want to talk about, we're here to hear it. Thank you, Attorney General.
Thank you, sir. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Dave Sunday, the new attorney general already. Those things I told you about on Medicaid are amazing. All right, what we're going to do in a second, we'll do what we do every day for a great prize. And then Giuseppe has put down the, the Calabria juice, and he's going to join us internationally and tell us about this great trip to Sicily. But right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody!
Money gone.
That is right. And today we're playing for a pair of tickets to see jazz... guitarist, all right,
Yacho Stefan.
Sorry, on Sunday, March 23rd at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County, our favorite spot. For tickets and more information, just visit bucks.edu/tickets.
Yeah, Don, so today we mentioned a new version of My Way released by the great Paul Anka.
Yes.
And Paul Anka, great songwriter, writing tons of songs you might not know were his. So I'm going to play a song sung by Paul Anka that he wrote himself and a reverse cover song. I want the listener to give me one of two artists who made this song incredibly famous, breaking into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. But here is Paul Anka's take on it. And again, I want to know, he handed off this song to two individuals that made it really big. You can give me one of either of those two individuals. Take a listen.
There you go.
to me. Guess it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, good reason why you didn't do it. The other version is much, much better. Again, we want to know who made those songs famous. Paul Anka's a writer, performer there, but
right.
Not the one who broke into the mainstream with it. We can take either of the two names that did, Dom.
All right, hit us at 855-839-1210. Giuseppe coming up. And we'll get in your calls, and we'll get a winner here on the side question today. You know, it's said that you don't just visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with this ancient crossroads of civilization. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans, they all left their cultural mark. How about joining me? And Giuseppe's a great tour guide. You'll hear exactly what conservative tourists does. Look what they have to work with, though. The sun, the sea, the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe in Sicily and Calabria this fall. When you head to Europe, it's Conservative Tours. They proudly have that name. We love it. $55.44, including airfare. The dining events we enjoy in Italy, Sicily, stuff of legend. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Call 888-733-9494. You at least have to get all the information. Or go to conservativetours.com. You also enjoy, maybe just as much, the Godfather tour part. We visit the locales from the movie in Calabria, the crown jewel of Sicily, Taormina, and I'll see you on Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily. It's ancient, charming, picturesque, always a country within a country. I will see you primarily, too, in Savoca. 888-733-9494.
Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, Paul Anka in the news today. We had some fun with that. Listen to the clue. And Dan, we're looking for one of two people.
Yeah,
right?
So two people made this song incredibly famous. And we just want to know those two people that made it famous. Paul Anka writes it, performing it here. Not so well, but we want to know the two who made it famous. Take a listen.
There you go.
Man, that opening melody is so noticeable. That's all the listener needs, I think.
Yeah. Let's go to Dwayne in Valley Forge. All right, Dwayne, what's your answer? Hi.
Hi, Dom. Well, one of my favorite singers, she had the best backup band in history, the Eagles. I'm going to go with Linda Ronstadt.
Ah, there you go. Nicely played. And who did Linda Ronstadt, Dwayne, date? A political note?
Oh, she dated the governor of California.
Yes.
And his name escapes me, but yeah, I remember.
Jerry's the first name.
Jerry Brown.
Yes, Jerry Brown. Hard to believe, isn't it? And it was all downhill from there. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
And to wrap things up, Tom, the other one, more famous one, is the original being...
There you go, baby.
That being Buddy Holly, Dom. So Buddy Holly or Linda Ronstadt would have won the day. Congratulations there.
Nicely played. By the way, the White House announcing now, you know, we'll see on paper that after this phone call today between the president and Putin, that Putin's on board with the ceasefire. Now, does that mean ceasefire is in effect? We'll see. This is big news, though, if the case. And the ceasefire is the first big step toward actually negotiating the final settlement, but it's the biggest step in some ways. That just announced a little while ago. All right, but we're headed to Sicily. We don't need a ceasefire. And Calabria. And the Godfather Tour. And our buddy Giuseppe's back. I've heard through the grapevine. He's changed his mind. It's not said to be sauce. It is said around the world to be gravy.
He's confirmed many times, Dom, it is indeed sauce.
It's gravy. All right, Giuseppe, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Dom. Great to hear from you. And it's still sauce.
That's it. The tour is so great. I just have two requests. Somebody's there is going to have to say gravy. And I can't go to the locale of Godfather 3 when we're in Calabria. Godfather 1 and Godfather 2, I'll be out there all day in the locales of the Godfather part. But let's start, Giuseppe, with Sicily. I've never been, obviously, to Sicily. I've read a lot about it. I saw the White Lotus in Sicily and mm-hmm. people like that. What is the biggest thing that people enjoy about Sicily?
Well, I'm right now in Sicily, and it's truly just an amazing island. I actually did the Godfather tour today. And as we were walking the streets of the town, it's a tiny village. And it's not only about going to see the site where the Godfather movie was filmed, but you could really understand better how the real civilians live in the inland of the island. And then as we were walking by, and I was taking my group up to the church where Michael and Apollonia had their wedding, and as we were going, one of the ladies came out, and I know her now for many years, and she actually still alive, and she is the mother of Apollonia in the movie. So technically, you go into a remote village where the Godfather movie was filmed, and there's still some of the actors. Let's call them actors, but they were people of the town that were part of the movie. And, I mean, my group was so happy to actually see one of the people that were in the movie that is still alive. So these things just happen.
Wait a minute. Is it the rat that ran away when they blew up the car? Is it that guy? Is he still alive? He
yes,
probably
Apollonia's
is.
Apollonia's wife, correct. Apollonia was the girl that blew up in the car. The mother, technically, is still alive, and she's here. And she loves to take pictures with us. So you go to these villages, and you're meeting a Hollywood star. I mean, to be involved yes. in such an amazing movie.
Oh yeah,
and but what is
oh,
true
Paulie, won't see him no more.
Time. What is incredible is that time has stopped. So you get to see the exact scenes of the movie, the church where it was filmed, the cafe where Michael asked the father of Apollonia that he wanted to get married, and we reproduce all these wonderful scenes. And then Sicily, I mean, as an island, I know that many people may have not traveled to Sicily, but we know so much about it. Keep in mind that it's the largest island of the Mediterranean. So all the other islands like Malta, Cyprus are much smaller. This is an amazing island because there's so much to see. There's 5 million people living in Sicily, and there's so much heritage because it was also the melting pot of the Mediterranean Sea. You have so much influence in the cuisine, for example, also in the language, the history that has came through here, Phoenicians, the Greeks, the Romans, and then we had the Normans.
Yeah.
The blend of cultures, Jewish communities, the Moors coming from North Africa. And then we must say that some historical events took place here on this island, with the landing of General Patton also in 1943.
Yeah, well, you know, that's General how I've come to know the race with yeah. Montgomery to be the first one to Palermo, which is a main exactly. stop here. Yeah, listeners probably have seen that. And then the White Lotus show. How accurate was that? Have you seen that on HBO?
The show was became very, you know, promoted Sicily tremendously. We have the people that on the tours, they make reservations to go and actually see or have dinner or a drink at the hotel. That same hotel actually was the one used by Francis Ford Coppola while filming the movie. Okay?
Ah.
And fascinating that he was here, and that's where he stayed for the first time. He also discovered the villages of the Godfather, Savoca and Forzovaglio, thanks to the receptionist of the San Domenico Palace in the 70s when he came. Okay, so everything is very well blended in. There's a lot of connections we're going to make. And keep in mind, we also include on the tour a visit to Mount Etna. Is a volcano, 11,000 mm-hmm. feet. It's actually an active volcano, fertile soil. Some of the best wines are produced here. So that's also another great opportunity to be on an island. For example, it's warm. It has a wonderful climate. But then when you climb up to 9,000 feet, you could actually be on snow salt. There's snow right now, and it pretty much lasts until May, June, or okay. then it comes back in autumn, you know. So this is the largest and most active volcano in Europe. So that's something, you know, if you're interested in volcanology, it's something more that Sicily can actually offer. We are going to see the Straits of Messina. Is the 2 miles of water that separate Sicily to the mainland of Italy. This tour is actually incredible because it covers all of southern Italy. And that represents a very important part of the Italian history, because before Rome existed, or Milan or Venice, these were the areas where we had the civilized cultures that were already on this kind of territory, with the Phoenicians and the Greeks. Keep in mind that the Romans came in later. Our Italian civilization actually started from the south. So chronologically, I mean, if you have been to Italy, it is wonderful. There's so many places to see. But my recommendation, if you have not been to Italy, the way to start an Italian experience is actually from the south, because chronologically, that's where history started, okay? Yeah. It's difficult to also identify in Italy, because we are a melting pot of cultures, of languages. You will find out all that influence also in the cuisine. But we take a ferry from Messina, that is one of the major ports. We sail for about 20 minutes and we reach the Italian mainland. The people that are also interested, you know, in the rock formation and to understand where Sicily is located, it's also connected to the North African plate of the earth. While Italy mainland is Europe, okay? So there's a fault line in the Straits of Messina. The depth of the sea is about 3,000 feet. We sail, we cross the Straits of Messina, and then we enter the Italian mainland through Calabria. That is the very point, the toe of Italy. There is also a plan to eventually build a bridge from one point to the other. A lot of the Greek mythology, Scylla, Charybdis, the sailing of Ulysses coming through this area. I mean, everywhere that you go in this area, there's so much to
absolutely
to discover.
Well, look, and you guys are second to none. Giuseppe, thank you as always. We play what you told me about sauce and gravy periodically. We're really looking forward to Sicily and Calabria. Giuseppe, hope to see you soon. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, there's Giuseppe. I'll convince him when we get over there. All right, lightning round next here at 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hit us with something that's an awkward moment here on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That's exactly right. All right, be very brief. We might have to give the winner tomorrow. That's what we're thinking. Well, maybe not. We'll see. Joe in Columbus. Joe, what's yours?
Great show.
Dom, I got a story. You got to allow me to build on this.
I can't, I Joe. You've got to be quick.
We got 90 seconds left.
I had a friend growing up who was a cougar magnet. And whether you're walking up somebody's stoop or walking up your own or walking down somebody else's, he walked out of this cougar's house, looked at the guy next to him at the row house back in the old Trenton days, walking out with a lunchbox and a hard hat. And he looked at him and said, "So you're the new guy." And what it was the walk of shame.
That's a really good one. Good one. Yeah. All right. Henry, though, who did you like today? We think there's a winner here.
Yeah. I have to lean with, I guess, Gary in Newtown. Mistaking a woman for being pregnant is just brutal.
Dan? I have a more personal story from Greta, who had a great one. She said she was standing there, was called Snow White, and said something about seven dwarves turned around, and there happened to be a short person behind
her. I think the short person story with Greta is a very, very good one.
All right.
Sorry.
The M word, as Hank Johnson is familiar with.
Yeah, we squeezed everything we possibly could in. Tomorrow we'll have another side. We'll have more time tomorrow. We'll dwell on that a little bit. But we do know we're going to be joined by John Yoo about all these legal things. He's the guy that was with President Bush Jr., Gitmo and all that. He's a Philadelphia native originally. A lot of insight on what's going on with Trump around this. But the good news is, if this holds, Putin is not going to be going after the Ukrainian infrastructure. That's what the deal is, to prove we have a ceasefire. We'll see by tomorrow if that holds. Maybe this is moving toward a settlement over the next month, 2 months or so. All right, Richie, always next. No JFK files released, though. You were right.
Shocker.
So far. Shocker. Where are the JFK files? Where are the Epstein files? We'll find out tomorrow. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.